Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Number one thing was Aaron Carter was the most searched thing. If you don't know who he is, he's the younger brother of Nick Carter, who is one of the members of Backstreet Boys. All right, so that was with 20,000 searches just in Canada alone. This is what Canadians were thinking of, all right? After that was South Africa versus India, and I was like, what's going on? Is there another war or anything? I found out it's cricket. All right, I don't know how that works, how cricket works. It looks like it's fun to play, but anyways, and then after that was Greta Thunberg. If you don't know who she is, she's a 16-year-old environmental activist. I believe she's from Sweden, and very well-spoken, amazing 16-year-old, just doing what she can. The next one, I'm going to totally brutalize the last name, so you Jets fans, I'm sorry. All right, so we're just call him Dustin. You can read it there up on the screen, pronounce it in your head, and then we're all good, because I'm not even going to try. He's a Jets defenseman. All right, Todd, how do you say it? That is nowhere near what I was thinking, so I am very glad that I didn't even try. Like, nowhere near. Night and day. Wow. All right, after that was Tessa Virtue. All right, she's a famous Canadian figure skater. All right, so those were the top five with the last three there, Greta, Dustin, and Tessa, 10,000, over 10,000 searches. So why? What's kind of neat about this is you get to, like I said, you get to get a little snapshot into people's hearts and minds and see what are they focused on, what's making them tick and things like that, like, and what's interesting to them lately. And there's this really cool psalm. This is, I think it's an incredibly powerful psalm, and it's found in Psalms 139, and it's in verses 23 and 24. This is David, and he writes this, and he says, "Search me, God. Know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead in the way everlasting." I think it's powerful. All right, and if in another version, it says this. This is in The Voice. If you ever heard The Voice version, I like it. It's very poetic, very cool. All right, and it says, "Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. Examine me to see if there's an evil bone in me and guide me down your path forever." And really what David's saying is, God, what's making me tick? God, the way that I'm treating other people, the way I'm talking to other people, how I'm acting and things like that, can you look inside and see what's making me tick? Why am I doing these things? I need you in my life. I need you to help me make sure that I'm living my best life with you, God. Because we all want that, right? We all want to live our best life with God. Now, notice there's a distinction. There's living my best life, and then there's living my best life with God. Sometimes living my best life, I might get a little selfish, prideful, whatever, and kind of focus on other things that really aren't the best for me. But if I'm living my best life with God, it's going to be my best life, right? And so what David is saying, listen, God, I want to live my best life with you, and I realize there's something in me. There's like this nagging thought and feeling that it's not exactly where it needs to be. God, I don't know. I want to make sure that if that ever happens or if maybe something comes up down the road, this is, you know what? This is a continual prayer. This isn't just a one-time thing. This is a 6 months from now or 2 months, maybe an hour from now. If you're like me, every once in a while, you just, God, search me. Something's wrong. You need to help me with this, right? And so David's saying, I want to live my best life with you, so I need you in it. I need you to search what's really going on inside of me so it can come in with alignment with how you've made me and designed me to be. Come in alignment with your purpose for my life so that I can live my best life. So God, I need you to search my heart. I need you, kind of like Google my heart, right? Look, see what's going on in there, right? And so what happens though after that? What happens when God searches your heart? Because if you think about it, look at that. David's saying, you know, if there's anything offensive in me, you know, help me out with it, right? Well, that seems a little bit, sometimes can seem like a little bit of a scary thought, right? God, look into my life. You know, if there's something good in there, something bad in there, can you point it out to me? Well, you know what? Pointing out the good stuff, that's good. Everyone can pray that prayer. Hey, God, how am I doing? And good. Can you look at the good stuff and point it out for me? That's kind of an easy prayer, right? And maybe you're thinking, no, this is one thing I want to touch on. Is maybe you're like, well, yeah, but God's really just going to point out the good stuff, but then he's going to tell me I could do better, right? Well, you know what? maybe you don't understand, the heart of God is he's the perfect father and he loves you immensely and most. He's going to point out that good stuff and he wants to celebrate. He wants to point it out in you because he loves you and thinks you're amazing, right? Maybe you got this thought of like, God's not really that impressed with the good I can do because, I mean, he's God, right? I mean, God's perfect and he wants me to be like him and all that sort. Well, you know what? God is there cheering you on all the time, every day, every moment. Right? He loves to point, hey, look, you did this amazing, that's awesome. He's probably calling the angels and Jesus over. Hey, y'all come see what my child has done. They're amazing. Like, come on, let's celebrate. This is awesome, right? But then there's the part about the bad stuff. Well, I mean, maybe it's easy about God. Can you look, see what's good in my life? You know, affirming, you want that affirming from God, affirmation. That's the word I was looking for from God. But what about the bad stuff? What happens then, right? Maybe you've got this idea that God's up there and he's ready. He's just got his hand ready. He's like, I'm just waiting for you to do something bad because I'm winding up and you're going to get up the backside of the head, right? You know, or maybe you think he's that God who's just like, look at you, you're horrible. Look at that horrible thing you've done, right? Is he's just calling you out. Maybe that's been your experience with other people, and maybe that's kind of what you draw your view of God from. But that's not who God is, right? But what happens is that he wants to convict you because he wants to get into your life. He wants to help you fix the problem and live that best life with him, right? Because we can't go any further because now we have a heart issue, and that heart issue really is going to affect your life. When God is searching and there's something wrong, when you've done something wrong, when you've sinned, when you've done something like that, right? And so you want to make sure that your heart is right so that you can live that best life. And sorry, what I'm saying is that you're going to get that conviction from God. And then there's this little term that we call repentance. How many of you, what's the first thing you think of, sorry, when you think repentance? You know, maybe you got, how many of you got this idea that repentance is this kind of fire and brimstone preacher kind of thing? And I'm going to get to three things that repentance is not so we can have a better understanding. Or maybe you think that repentance is like, you know what, you're a horrible person and you've got to go out and you think you got to, you know, make up for what you've done. Or maybe you think repentance is like a confessional booth. Maybe that's the first thing that pops in your head or anything like that. Well, first I want to tell you three things that repentance is not so we can maybe better understand what it is. Repentance is essentially is that act of getting things right. It's just simply. But repentance is not penance. See, penance is this idea that I can do something to make up for it, right? Now, I think penance, doing something, you want to make the situation right, that's a good thing, right? But that's the fruit of repentance. That's the fruit of going through this process with God. So repentance is not penance. You cannot do anything good enough to fix up that heart problem because you don't have that power. Right? That's a God-only thing. When you've done something wrong to make things right with God, to make things right with those around you, you need God in that situation. There's nothing you can do to make it right. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's wrong to do, you know, make up. Like, you think of the story of Zacchaeus, right? If you don't know who Zacchaeus is, he's a short little guy, he was a tax collector, everybody hated him. That's the short story. All right, and so Jesus was coming to town, so he climbed up a tree. And he was like, I want to see Jesus. Jesus saw, hey, Zacchaeus is up in the tree. He comes, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house, which was kind of out of the ordinary because who wants to go hang around with a tax collector? Well, the reason they didn't like tax collectors is because they cheated them and stole from them, right? Back then. All right. And so, I'm sorry, that's not me. If you're a tax collector, God bless you. I can't even imagine having that job, being that person working for the CRA, but... So Zacchaeus is there and he's having Jesus over for coffee or tea or whatever it is. And all of a sudden he's like, Jesus, you know what? I've done a bunch of wrong stuff and I want to repay everyone back. Not only just repay what I took, but repay even more. So that is doing something right. But you see, even if he did that, he's still got this heart issue to deal with, right? Do you see what I'm saying there? So repentance is not penance. The next thing is repentance is not condemnation. I said it a little earlier about God where maybe some of us have this idea that God's sitting there, you horrible person, look at this, look at that, what you do. You see, condemnation attacks your identity, but conviction, which is from God, condemnation is not from God, conviction reminds you of it. See, God points out to you, say, hey, you see this over here, Charles? You see, you did something wrong here, eh? Do you see that? That's not you. That's not who I made you to be. You're better than that. Come on, we got to fix this. because I got so much awesome stuff for your life, and there's so much I want to see you grow in, and this is God talking to all of us, right? And I want to see you grow. I want to see you live best life together with me. I have so many adventures to take you on, but you see, you got this heart issue you got to deal with. There's something inside of you you got to get fixed. And so that's conviction. It reminds you of the identity that God gave you. Doesn't sit there and say, look at this horrible thing you did. You're a horrible person. No, that's condemnation. The next thing that repentance is not just remorse. Remorse is feeling bad, right? That is a good thing, right? We hope we feel bad when we do something wrong. Otherwise, we got bigger heart issues going on, right? But you see what? Feeling bad about it is one thing. You can't just stay in remorse, right? You can't just say, I feel bad. Really, that was bad. I shouldn't have done that, right? That's one thing. But doing something about it is another, right? And so when God comes to you and he convicts you, you get that nagging feeling. You know, all of us get it. Maybe some of us recognize this. Maybe some of us don't. Maybe some of us do what I've done in the past and still every once in a while find myself doing, to where I take that feeling and I just go, well, you know what? I'll deal with it later. Or maybe that's not God or anything. I got this feeling that, you know, there's something in my life I need to get fixed. But really, you know what? You just need to deal with it. So there's nothing we can do that we learn, because it's not penance. There's nothing I can do to make my heart right. It's not condemnation. I know it's not part of who I am. So obviously I got to change my actions to line up with who I am. And then I know I got to do something about it, though. There's got to be a next step. And so maybe you're here tonight and you're like, yeah, I've got these things in my life. I've been having these nagging thoughts and feelings of like something's not lining up. My life isn't right, or I know of something that I've done wrong and I don't know what to do about it. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I just want to live my best life with God and I want to keep my life healthy and things like that. And so what are some next steps you do when that conviction comes? Well, the first thing you got to do is that you got to recognize that conviction and you got to acknowledge it, saying, you know what? I think there's something going on. You got to keep this prayer top of mind that David prayed of search my heart. You got to keep yourself before God constantly. So you got to respond. Got to respond. Don't try and shove it to the side. Don't say it'll be tomorrow. No, respond. Deal with it right now. Don't try and hide it. I mean, the silly thing is you can't hide it from God. He knows everything already. But we got this idea that he's going to come in and he's just going to yell at us and pointing his finger at us, right? And things like that. But no, I mean, we need to let God in. He actually has the best solution for the problem. I looked through the Bible and all I saw were tons and thousands of solutions for problems. I mean, you think about all the different characters in the Bible, the different people. I mean, they are characters, some of them. Sorry, that was a bad joke. All right. And the things they did. And you look at the process of how God restored them, brought them through the process of repentance, and looking on, they went on to do amazing things, right? We want that, don't we? So we have to respond to that conviction. Next, we need to acknowledge that what we did is wrong. This is the no excuses part, right? Well, you know what? I was kind of tired, I was grumpy, and there was, you know, that kind of, no. You did something wrong. Now let's fix it. You did something wrong. No excuses, right? Acknowledge what you did was wrong. Don't try and make excuses. Next, ask God for forgiveness. God, I'm sorry. I did this and it was wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And the cool thing is he's already forgiven you. But you got to ask, right? Because this is part of that process where it heals and restores your heart. And then the next part that I think is important, sometimes we skip over, is accepting God's forgiveness. Sometimes we're good at the asking, and then we just kind of walk away still carrying the baggage, right? It's like going up to the cross and having our sins, you know, like a big bunch of bags of sins, and going, God, I'm so sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness, right? But I'm still a horrible person. I can't do this. There's no way, right? I'm still horrible. I do bad stuff all the time and things like that, and I just want to take it with me, it seems. But really, it's more so, God, I want to give these to you. I'm sorry, and I accept your forgiveness. Because it says in the Psalms that he takes our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's done. That moment we come to him and we say, God, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It's done. is taken care of fully right there. And the next thing is you got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. Sometimes the enemy will come and he'll kind of like, hey, do you remember that thing you did? Right? But to God, he's done. He doesn't remember anymore. You go, God, you remember? And he's like, what? Remember the whole east is from the west thing? Took care of it. And we go, and the enemy comes and he's like, well, you're not, you know, you're still kind of a horrible person. You do bad stuff and things like that, right? But you got to walk it out. You got to remember, no, God has forgiven me. I am forgiven. God has taken my sins as far as the east is from the west. That's in Psalms 103:12. Now, what happens if it's against someone else, right? So this is a situation that I just talked about between you and God. What happens if it's someone else? Well, it's very much the same process. There's just an added step in there, right? You respond to the conviction. You know what? I've done something wrong. I acknowledge what I did was wrong. No excuses. I ask God forgiveness. I accept his forgiveness, right? But then I also go to the individual. And I got to remember the acknowledge part too. I go to them, no excuses. Well, you know, I was kind of tired. I'm sorry. You know, and I did this and, you know, and this happened. And then, you know, and I was kind of mean and I'm sorry about that. No. What I did was wrong. I was rude. I'm sorry for doing that. Will you forgive me? And I will also work my very hardest to make sure that doesn't happen again. Right? I go and I acknowledge, no excuses, and I ask for forgiveness. The next thing is you got to walk it out, because sometimes they will forgive you, and that's awesome, and sometimes they don't. Right? I'm sure no one here has ever been in that situation, but and sometimes if you're with people, this happens. Right? If you're around people, this happens where they don't forgive you. Well, what you have to do is remember that you have been forgiven and walk it out. Don't let that baggage, don't take on that baggage again. Don't listen to the voice in your head that says you're horrible, you can't do it. They didn't forgive you because you're not really sorry or you're not really this or that, right? Don't listen to that voice. Listen to his voice. It's done. It's forgiven. There's a story about Robert Robertson. If you don't know who he was an English clergyman. He also wrote poetry and hymns. And this story goes like this. He was an English clergyman who lived in the 18th century. Not only was he a gifted pastor and preacher, he was also a highly gifted poet and hymn writer. After many years in the pastorate, his faith began to drift. He left the ministry and finished up in France, indulging himself in sin. And one night, he was riding in a carriage with a Parisian socialite who had recently been converted into Christ. She was interested in his opinion on some poetry she was reading. And it said this, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never failing. Call for hymns and loudest praise. When she looked up from her reading, she noticed Robinson was crying. "What do you think of it?" he asked in a broken voice. "I wrote it, but now I've drifted away from him and I can't find my way back." "But don't you see," the woman said gently, "the way back is written right in here. The third line of your poem. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Those streams are flowing even here in Paris tonight." That night, he recommitted his life to Christ. So maybe you're here tonight and you're feeling that tug on your heart of like something isn't right. Those streams of mercy are flowing here in Brandon tonight. Or maybe you're here and you're like, God, I want to make sure that I'm living my best life. And I feel like maybe there's something there, but I'm not sure what it is. Maybe there's something I've been doing, some repetitive habit of God that I'm not sure. I got to get out of my way. And God, I want to make sure that I'm living right before you. So I want to offer up as a time here to come up here and pray. And I just want you to come up for a moment and simply pray that prayer. God, search my heart. And take a moment. Only has to be, give him 30 seconds. So you give him 30 seconds of your time tonight. Say, God, search my heart. Is there anything in me? Because we want to see Brandon saved, right? We want to see our church full of all kinds of people coming to Christ, right? Yeah, they might take your chair or your favorite spot. But wouldn't it be better to have this church full of people who are coming to Christ? Not because we want to fill up the church. That has nothing to do with it. right? It's because we want people to know Jesus, to discover him and his love for them, right? But you know what? If we want to be effective of that, we need to get this right. We need to get our heart right. We need to make sure that we're right before God. So would you give him 30 seconds tonight and come up here and just say, God, search my heart. See if there's any wicked thing in me. So I want to give you that opportunity right now. Just as soon as they start playing, would you just come up and just say that prayer? And maybe it's something you know that you need to deal with and just come up and deal with it. And then if it's someone that you got to go and fix the problem with, I want you to go as soon as possible. So would you give God 30 seconds tonight and just come up here and say, God, search my heart. Search my heart, God. Search my heart. See if there's anything in me. And I just want to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, I want to invite you up. So God, I just thank you so much. I just pray, God, that your goodness and mercy will continue to flow in streams here in Bethel and in Brandon. God, it's not because we want our church full. Lord God, we want all the churches in Brandon full of people seeking to know you better. We want all the small groups full of people seeking to know you better, coming to Christ, having amazing experiences with your love and your goodness. So tonight, God, search our hearts. Search our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.